The following worship service was recorded live on Sunday, November 24, 2019, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan at Rock Springs First Methodist Church, a traditional Bible-based faith community worshiping in the tradition of our Wesleyan heritage in Rock Springs, Wyoming.
I'd like to welcome you to worship this morning. Let us pray. Father, we come in celebration and thanksgiving for all that you have provided for us. Help us to more fully appreciate our families, our homes, our work, our nation, and the beauty of the world around us. Knowing that through Christ Jesus, who strengthens us, all things are possible. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen.
Today, our reading is Luke 21:5-19. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, he said, "As for these things you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be? And what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and 'the time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes and in various places famines and plagues. And there will dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons. And you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name. But not a hair of your head will perish, but by your endurance you will gain your souls." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
If you have your Bibles and want to underline a couple things, I would suggest that maybe you underline for sure verse 8, and then 13 and 19. Those will sort of be the camping spots for the message today, which is entitled Troubled Times. You know, as we look around the world today, it seems like everywhere there's problems. I get some of these news feeds. How many of you look at news feeds on the internet? Oh, it's okay if you do. Just be careful where you get them. Might be a good idea. But I get this one that's called Defense News. And, since I'm former Marine and stuff, I kind of keep up with that stuff. And I look at all of these stagings and posturings and all the stuff that is continuously going on in the world around us, but we don't even know it. The South China Sea is a hot spot, folks. There's a lot of stuff going on over there. but we don't even notice it. We kind of focus in, you know, and I don't care which news network you watch on television. Oh my goodness. There is a mess on every corner. Pick up the newspaper. There's a mess on every corner. It is troubled times, but that's not all bad news. That's not all bad news. Troubled times in our lives are a given. Trouble comes, that's a fact. We will all find ourselves in a tunnel of darkness and doubt from time to time. We'll all face times of trial, tribulation, and stress. Amen? Anybody been there besides me? Maybe you're there this morning. Sometimes we're up and sometimes we're down. Wesley says that as we as Christians are able to stand, but it's more likely we'll fall. You know, sometimes, how many of you have your good days being a Christian? You got it, you know. I have my good seconds. I don't think I've had a full good day where I think I've made it all day to be a good Christian because I have my character defects, so to speak. And you know what's wrong with character defects? You keep them with you, and they show up. It don't matter what happened, they do. So, but it's troubled times, and Jesus is coming out of the temple with his disciples, and this is the second temple. You know that. The first temple is the temple of Solomon built, but in 587, that temple is torn down. And in around 90, right after the Maccabean revolt, how many of you know about the Maccabean revolt? What do you people do with your spare time? Watch TV? You should study history? What is the date 922 significant? My goodness. The northern kingdom of Israel falls to the Assyrians. You just needed to know that, right? 587, why is that significant? I just told you. The southern kingdom of Israel falls, and they destroy the temple. They scatter the people. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego go into slavery, and all that stuff starts. You read about those guys, didn't you? The fiery furnace. Daniel thrown to the lion's den. That's when it all gets started. Well, now, you've got the temple destroyed. Well, in Jesus' day, this is the second temple. It's been built by Herod, not the one that's in power in the day of Jesus, but the one before him. And it's been built following the Maccabean revolt as a peace offering to keep the peace in that area with those ornery Jewish people who just always want to cause trouble. So this temple, it's beautiful, folks. It's beautiful. It is restored to pristine condition. The walls inside, the Holy of Holies, the floor, the walls, the ceiling are all solid gold plated. The tapestry between the place of worship and the altar of incense and the altar of sacrifice has been restored. These are heavy tapestries. Missing from the second temple is the Ark of the Covenant. But they've put the lampstands back in and the other articles. It's beautiful. It was such a monumental achievement. And all of the Jewish people saw it as God's blessing and God's giving them back another second chance, another opportunity to get it right. And Jesus says, it's pretty. But every stone will be torn down. Good news, right? You look depressed. This is not a happy sermon. Well, hold on, I'll get there. Maybe. So he tells them it's all, and it does. In 70 AD, the Romans encircle Jerusalem, tear the wall down, go in, tear it down, melt all the gold out of the walls, kill all the priests, crucify them. Have you heard of a place called the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem? It's the only wall left of the temple. And it's actually just really a retaining wall for the foundation, and there's holes in it. And guess what Jewish people do with those holes? They roll up prayers and put them in those holes. Do you know where those holes came from? That's where the spikes were drove into the cement where they crucified the high priest. Didn't know that history either. I'm still amazed that people don't study this history. That's why it has significance. It is the last wall, but it's also the place where the Romans, in their wisdom of torture and pain, decided this would be the place where we crucify those chief priests and all the elders of the temple. That's where they killed them. They actually crucified every religious leader they could find to the point that they ran out of wood to build crosses. That was it. There was no more Israel until 1948. That's quite a little time, isn't it? Quite a little time. Something like 1,500 years. See, anyway, let's go on. Troubled times. How many of you know about troubled times? Anybody here weathered a storm lately? Lately? You know, we all weather storms. That's where gray hair comes from. And if storms are bad enough, the hair goes away. You know, it kind of blows through. But anyway, that's what happens. But storms of life and troubled times and everything else, I mean, it just seems bad. Now, Jesus says, you got to be careful down here. And I want to highlight that in verse 8. And you need to know this, that if somebody comes and tells you that they know the day and the hour and the time and the place and all that stuff, that's a false witness, folks. You need to understand right now that if somebody says that, as soon as it falls across their lips, they're a liar. The devil's got his hand up their back because nobody knows. Jesus doesn't even know when he's coming back. So anytime somebody says that, run. Jesus said, don't be deceived. Don't go after them. It seems like it goes in cycles, don't it? Where you've got this goal, this group, or this group. I mean, I saw these elaborate formulas for this. Years and days are turned into this, into the 70 weeks of Daniel and the trials of it'll make your head spin. It's simple enough. As soon as somebody tells you it's going to happen, forget it. That day's out. So maybe if you want Jesus to not come back is to just say, well, every day I'm going to say he's coming on the next day, and that way he won't come on that day. Well, somebody might get lucky or unlucky. Now let's go down to the next verse I want to highlight for you. I'm getting to the sermon. Verse 13, during these troubled times, during all the problems and everything that's going to go on, this will give you an opportunity to testify. To testify. All of this trouble, all of these problems, all these situations will give you an opportunity to testify. Now go down to verse 19. By your endurance, you will gain your souls. By your endurance, you will gain your souls. What does endurance mean? Got to go through hard times? Got to endure them? You know, maybe be the Brits and keep a stiff upper lip or just muddle along, you know. But it's the enduring. It's kind of like you kind of just got to get through, got on the other side right and all that good stuff. Endurance means far more than that. How many of you have ever trained athletically? Okay. What does endurance mean? How do you get there with it? How do you get there with it? How do you build up your endurance? Blood, sweat, and tears, but if you just work out to the same level, you're not increasing your endurance. Did you know that if you walk a mile every day, you're not increasing your cardiac activity? You're maintaining. Endurance means you do the old weightlifter adage, no pain, no gain, one more rep. It is the athletic runner who is training for the marathon who doesn't stop at the mile but goes the mile and a quarter, that goes the mile and a half, and they increase that until their endurance increases. It means they've gone the extra mile. Take your bulletin out for me. Take your bulletin out for me. For we as Christians need to understand that if we aren't growing, we're dying. We need to be building our endurance as Christians. Notice our phrase, it's right here in the top. I point this out to you. You know, this would make a nice thing to put up on your refrigerator, you know, and kind of look at it from time to time. What does it say? Healthy things grow, growing things change. Change is a challenge. Challenge forces us to trust God. Trusting God makes us healthy. Healthy things grow. Folks, every time we go through a troubled situation, we have an opportunity to either fall back from it or to grow through it. All the way through the Bible, it talks about how God is with us through whatever it may be. And for us as Christians, we should have a different outlook. We should have a different mindset. We should see the world in a different light. We should never see the world as a place of trouble, but a place of opportunity. We should never see a situation in our life as hopeless, but an opportunity for God to work. We should see every struggle and every trial as a way to grow in our faith, to go closer to God, and to have that opportunity to witness or to testify, to show that God is with us. How many of us have learned that there is light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not an oncoming train? We've made it through. We've weathered those storms. How many of you have known people who have matured in their faith till it didn't seem anything anymore fazed them? They just went right on, you know, everything, you know, they said, and just kind of keep on. That's where we should be as Christians. It's an opportunity. A lot of people are headed into this holiday season. Thanksgiving starts it off, and they're dreading it. There's a lot of people that are going to go into this holiday season with a loved one absent around the table, with a gift package already bought. The person to whom it's given isn't in their life anymore. People are going to go into this holiday season, and they're going to fear for finances. They're going to fear for this mixed, blended, and messed up stuff that we try to put together called family, and they're going to stress out about it. How many know about that stuff? They're going to face this holiday season with doubt and despair more than joy. Well, what's the problem, folks? What's going on? Christians are facing it the same way, and we as Christians of all people should have the most hope. Every situation that is a trial is also an opportunity for God to work out a triumph. Never give up. Never. One of the mottos in my life that was instilled in me by my dad and confirmed by the United States Marine Corps is, as long as you're alive, there's options. There's a difference that you can make. Get your pen back. I don't give you three things as a Christian that I learned in the Marine Corps that work in Christianity. What are they? Write them down. What are they? Does anybody know what they are? Three things. Call the Army. No, I'm just kidding. The reason we're there is because they didn't. Yeah. But anyway, I digress again. So the first thing is to what? Improvise. What does that mean? To improvise. Use your imagination. Use your resources. Look around and see what you have. Pay attention to what you have to work with. Do you know that's why we go to church? Did you know that each one of you are a resource for each other? There's somebody here that may have been going through the very thing that you're going through or facing the very thing that you're facing. What about the resource of Christian fellowship? What do you mean to improvise? Improvise means to make do with something that you don't have that just necessarily fits it. Look around. How many of you have ever been called a misfit? What are you laughing about? I'm unique. Yeah, I'm just unique. I'm not a misfit. I'm unique. And I bet some of you are unique too. Improvise. What's the next thing? Adapt. Adapt. We as Christians have become too rigid to get through a storm. Guess what happens to the tree that don't bend? It falls over and uproots. Sometimes we got to get a fresh perspective. Sometimes we got to let somebody encourage us, or somebody might need to challenge us. Have you ever wanted to do what they do in the movies, to have somebody hysterical and just smack them? I've always wanted to do that, see if it worked in real life. But I'm scared because they might hit back. Or what? They may have a gun, and I don't. It ain't a fair fight anymore. So improvise, adapt. What's the last one? Overcome. Endurance. To overcome, to go beyond, to go past. Jesus said there's some horrible things coming, and they are. Look around. There's trouble in the world, but it need not trouble the Christian any further than a time of prayer. We should be in our Bible. We should be in our groups. We should be sharing the journey together. Troubled times should be opportunity times for Christians. Troubled times should be a time to witness. And I love what it says. Don't get ready ahead of time. How many of you found out you can't get ready for trouble? You got to adapt, improvise, and overcome. Because it always... How many of you find it inconvenient? Anybody ever find it inconvenient? Trouble is inconvenient. It never comes when you want it. You never want it, though, do you? So it's always going to be inopportune. Our journey with Christ is about overcoming. And he says, those who endure shall save their souls. You see, that's what it's about, is this walk with God. This healthy things grow. Growing things change. Change is a challenge. Tragedy in our life is change. Tragedy in our life is hard. And I want you to be an encourager this holiday season. If somebody's lost a loved one, maybe it's a parent that's lost a child, or all whatever that empty seat may be, how about encouraging them to embrace the fact that that loss occurred? You can't take it away and you can't erase it, but to celebrate what they had, not mourn what they don't have. The one thing I've learned is I can't spend money I ain't got. And I've learned I can't count those things that I didn't get. But I can count the things that I've had, and I can celebrate the lives that I've shared. I like the holiday seasons, even though they've got some toughness in them, but they also have a lot of joy and memories. Smelling the food back there reminds me of my granny's. The lady with the red lipstick. Did anybody else have one of those grannies? That as soon as you got close as a kid, you were going to get kissed. Do you remember any of those? Have any of you had one of those grannies? That lipstick had to come off a service station shelf because it had to be part motor oil or something, because you couldn't get it off. The more you rubbed it, the redder your cheek got. I ain't sure if it was the rubbing or the dye from the lipstick. But you know what? I wouldn't give anything for those memories today. I wouldn't give anything to hear my granddad telling the stories. Oh, I wish I could go back and hear them again. The way he told them, which was sitting in his chair. How many of you have been in those old people's houses and you know you don't sit there? You know, that's their chair. It was his chair. It was in the middle. And it was in the middle between. How many of you have been in a shotgun house? If you ain't poor, you ain't been. But if you're poor, you been. The front door goes in and the back door goes out. All the rooms line up. And you can go straight through the house. Well, his chair was right in the middle of the breezeway between the living room and the kitchen, dining room area. And that's where his chair was. And he had to go around his chair to get out of that living room. And he sat in that chair. It was an old brown kind of rocker recliner thing. And a spittoon right there. And he'd sit there, he'd rock up and tell his stories. Oh, you know, I thought that was the nastiest thing. It stunk to high heavens. And oh, I wish today that I could have just sat a little longer. Remember what you've had and be grateful. Because that'll help you see the world in a different way. It depends on how you see it as to how you'll deal with it. But when trouble comes, and it always does, trust in God. He's got you. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. Father, we thank you that we can trust you even in troubled times. And as we head into this season we call Thanksgiving and the celebration of your son's birth, Father, we're going to hit it with all kinds of stuff. We're going to experience things from all kinds of directions. But let our hearts be open to your presence in it. And Father, may we approach it with love, grace, mercy, and openness. Not with our expectations of what it should be, but trusting that it will be as it should be. And that in all things, through Christ Jesus, we are more than conquerors. Even in the midst of trouble, you are building us up, increasing our endurance, letting us grow closer to you. For Father, the greatest enemy of the Christian is complacency. Father, help us to live out our faith, to share the good news, to live positively into the lives of others this holiday season. And may our attitude give light where there might be darkness. May our hope in you give hope where there is hopelessness. And Father, may we truly, truly, truly be a witness for you in what we say and do. Let us celebrate and be thankful for the days that we have are gifts from you. And the problems and the troubles are opportunities we have to grow in endurance with you. Hear our hearts and prayers lifted before you this day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Tragedy in our life is hard, and I want you to be an encourager this holiday season. If somebody's lost a loved one, maybe it's a parent that's lost a child, or all whatever that empty seat may be, how about encouraging them to embrace the fact that that loss occurred? You can't take it away and you can't erase it, but to celebrate what they had, not mourn what they don't have. The one thing I've learned is I can't spend money I ain't got. And I've learned I can't count those things that I didn't get. But I can count the things that I've had. And I can celebrate the lives that I've shared. I like the holiday seasons, even though they've got some toughness in them. But they also have a lot of joy and memories. Smelling the food back there reminds me of my granny's. Oh, the lady with the red lipstick. Did anybody else have one of those grannies? That as soon as you got close as a kid, you were going to get kissed. Do you remember any of those? Have any of you had one of those grannies? That lipstick had to come off a service station shelf because it had to be part motor oil or something because you couldn't get it off. The more you rubbed it, the redder your cheek got. I ain't sure if it was the rubbing or the dye for the lipstick. But you know what? I wouldn't give anything for those memories today. I wouldn't give anything to hear my granddad telling the stories. Oh, I wish I could go back and hear them again the way he told them, which was sitting in his chair. How many of you have been in those old people's houses and you know you don't sit there? You know that's their chair. It was his chariot. It was in the middle. And it was in the middle between. How many of you have been in a shotgun house? If you ain't poor, you ain't been. But if you're poor, you been. The front door goes in and the back door goes out. All the rooms line up and you can go straight through the house. Well, his chair was right in the middle of the breezeway between the living room and the kitchen dining room area. And that's where his chair was. You had to go around his chair to get out of that living room. And he sat in that chair. It was an old brown kind of rocker recliner thing. And a spittoon right there. And he'd sit there, and he'd rock up and tell his stories. Oh, you know, I thought that was the nastiest thing. It stunk to high heavens. And oh, I wish today that I could have just sat a little longer. Remember what you've had and be grateful. Because that'll help you see the world in a different way. It depends on how you see it as to how you'll deal with it. But when trouble comes, and it always does, trust in God. He's got you. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. Father, we thank you that we can trust you even in troubled times. And as we head into this season we call Thanksgiving and the celebration of your son's birth, Father, we're going to hit it with all kinds of stuff. We're going to experience things from all kinds of directions. But let our hearts be open to your presence in it. And Father, may we approach it with love, grace, mercy, and openness. Not with our expectations of what it should be, but trusting that it will be as it should be. And that in all things, through Christ Jesus, we are more than conquerors. Even in the midst of trouble, you are building us up, increasing our endurance, letting us grow closer to you. For Father, the greatest enemy of the Christian is complacency. Father, help us to live out our faith, to share the good news, to live positively into the lives of others this holiday season. And may our attitude give light where there might be darkness. May our hope in you give hope where there is hopelessness. And Father, may we truly, truly, truly be a witness for you in what we say and do. Let us celebrate and be thankful for the days that we have our gifts from you. And the problems and the troubles are opportunities we have to grow in endurance with you. Hear our hearts and prayers lifted before you this day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now may God's grace, love, and mercy go with you. No matter what may come, may you know that God is greater than it is, that a problem is never insurmountable or above God's ability to take care. Never give up, but always be ready to call on God. May God bless the food and our time together. May it nourish us and strengthen us. And may we now go in the grace and peace of God that surpasses all understanding. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Our church is located at 1515 Edgar Street in Rock Springs, Wyoming. You may call us at 307-362-5334. Please note our email address, which has changed recently, rsfumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Visit our website at rockspringsumc.org for more information about our congregation, our ministries, or upcoming events. Audio copies of this sermon are also available on the website. We invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m.